you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, hope that it's there. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, June 22nd, 2018. And before I start reading a passage out of Exodus chapter 8, this came to mind, Jason, after your prayer. And as I was thinking about it, you know, there's that passage where all these people are flocking and crowding around Jesus. He says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?"
Or the woman.
And the woman comes forward, and somewhere in there, basically, Jesus is saying, because he could discern or detect or knew that power had left him. I mean, it's kind of a very interesting thing. Well, after Wednesday's message on the morning edition of Mark and Friends, do you ever feel after you've delivered a message, because I think we covered a number of things about conviction, and we looked into 1 Timothy and how we're to reach out and love on people. Do you ever feel after you've given a message or maybe a morning program where you feel like power has left you?
Oh, yeah.
God did a work. That something was released, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I just felt after that program, as we were reading God's word, and I think I even said to some people, I bet there's some conviction going out right now on some choices you make or decisions. We talked a little about Facebook and such. But I was just thinking about that as we prayed up the program. That are there times where you feel like you've been poured out, that a touch of God has been worked through you?
Well, I do think and do really believe that all of us are kind of, you know, the Bible would say, you know, that we've fallen short. I think we're all like, you know, the 1975 Ford Pinto. You know, four cylinders, got a little bit of rust going on. We don't go all that fast. We got those little tiny wheels. Don't take the corner too sharp. I mean, that's kind of us. And what do? We try and take the corner too sharp. We try and go too fast. We try and do all these kinds of stuff. So I think that we're all kind of this, like, you know, 1975-ish Ford Pinto. And then we open up the word and we begin to share, and suddenly it's as if that Ford Pinto was dropped in it, the fastest engine available to man, which is the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, "I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power, the dunamis." It's a explosive power, dynamite kind of power. Of the Spirit. And so I think that's what happens. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm just kind of this simple vehicle, and all of a sudden, for whatever amount of time it is there, where I'm sensitive to the Spirit. Now, you can do this outside the Spirit, and it doesn't work quite the same. But God drops this power inside of you, or you access this power inside of you, and it is like you're running at 100 RPM for 30, 40, 15, 20, however long it is. And it's tiring. I mean, after you get done, you're, you know, on Sunday afternoons, I go home, and I want to do two things. I want to eat, but I'm really not that hungry. You know, like when you exercise and you get done exercising and you're like, "Oh, I'm not really as hungry as, I'll be more hungry later. I'm not really directly after." I'm not always as hungry, but I'm like, I need to eat a little something, and then I want to go to sleep. You know, and so these days with the summertime, we've been heading to the, when the weather's good, we head to the pool over in Crystal Lake Pool in Urbana, and we sit by the pool, and my wife says to the kids, "Go swim." Because she knows, I put my sunglasses on, I lay in that lounge chair, and I sleep for about 35 minutes. Like, it's the best sleep ever. The sun's on you, it's just nice, and you wake up, you're like, "Oh, I feel so good now." And then you go get in that cool
water. And your feet
are
in the water during this time, and you're...
I've done that, but most of the time I'll just go sit up on the thing, because if I'm anywhere near the water, some kid's going to splash you.
Right.
And there's nothing like waking up because you got splashed. But no, I agree with you. I think that it really does take a lot out of you, because God is using you and God is channeling messages through you that are beyond even you. I mean, I think about David and I think about the Apostle Paul and I think about all the people who did all the things that they did. And they were receiving messages that they really didn't even know the full extent or impact of. And I think that a lot of people would say, I know that they've said this of me, you know, that they would say, "Oh, well, you worked out everything you were going to say." And I don't. I mean, I have notes that I use on Sunday morning, or I have notes wherever I preach generally. I bring notes. But the notes are only a guideline to try and keep me on track so I don't kind of go here and there and everywhere. But there's so much of what comes out of my mouth that are not in those notes. In fact, a number of years ago, my wife was giving me a hard time, because she's like, "You know, it's a little narcissistic that every Monday morning you sit down and listen to yourself." And I go, "Well, what do you mean?" She goes, "Well, every Monday morning, I hear you listening to your own message from Sunday at the church." And I said, "Honey, I'm not being narcissistic. I want to, like, that stuff's not in the notes. Like, I want to know what I said.
Yes.
Like, I really do. I go back and I make notations in my notes of things that I said, and it's always the best. It's always the stuff where I'm like, wow, that was really good. I mean, you spend 15 hours writing a sermon, and the best stuff is the stuff that's not the stuff that you spent 15 hours on. It's the stuff that the Holy Spirit delivered.
Right.
And that's tiring when the Holy Spirit's like, just a second, let me use you real quick. And he says something, and you're like, oh, my gosh, how did we just sprint?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would agree with you.
Wow. Well, and Wednesday, case in point, in case you didn't tune in, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, but Jason came with no notes, no prearranged. In fact, we were talking about maybe we would touch on Matthew, and somehow that was just...
That's
like,
your code for never being in Matthew.
Yeah, and I said, Jason, I have not... Actually, that was, if you tuned in on Wednesday's program, Jason was here earlier. We talked over a number of things. He gave me some kind of counsel and advice. And actually, I had an agenda from the program. Mm-hmm. I was going to share four different verses, and I had kind of this theme laid out. And I said, so what do you think about that? And he's like, well, I could go this way or this way in light of this. And is that what you want to convey and share about? And I'm like, you know what, Jason, I'm going to scrap that. Do you have anything? And he said, oh, we can always go into Matthew. We can go into this, or, you know, we can talk about
this. The Bible
this.
Says I always have to be ready.
Yeah.
So, but I think that if you have the Holy Spirit, you're always ready. You have something to talk about.
Yeah. But we started with, you were given an illustration about John MacArthur right before our prayer time. And so that's how I launched into the program. Hey, why don't you share that, which then led us into 2 Timothy. So again, with no notes or prior preparation to say, let's go this way, I felt like God led it. Mm-hmm. And then there was, you know, as you read God's word, there's always points of application. Yeah. And how I've always, since childhood, and I love when God convicts me of something. And usually, mm-hmm. as I grew up, Reverend De Kreuter at Christ Church of Oak Brook, his message was like as if Moses was speaking to Israelites. Mm. Every Sunday, as I sat there, there were always points of conviction. I mean, I look forward to it. I'm a sinner needing grace, and when there's
You're
a
glutton
point...
glutton for punishment.
Well, but then I also have the proper perspective that God loves me.
Sure.
And so I can take the conviction because I know it's a loving father caring.
He's speaking the truth to you in love.
Yeah.
And because the vehicle for a lot of that, for all of it, is Christ. You know, whether it's Christ prior to the incarnation or mm-hmm. after the incarnation, depending if it's Old Testament or New Testament, the truth is coming to you in great love, the great sacrifice of Christ. So, yeah, that you accept that conviction. I think that's where we talked about that on Wednesday is how do you speak the truth in love? Well, I think we have to look at how God does it.
Yeah. Hey, amen. Well, I'm open to chapter 8, and I'm trying to figure my place. It was the
verse
the
23, I think. Yeah, you talked
about it. Oh, there it is. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to start off the program with this. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. Reading from verse 23 of Exodus chapter 8. So maybe on this Friday, as people are tuning in, how about opening our time in prayer? The weekend's upon us. Mm. People will be maybe having fun, family activities, going to the pool, relaxing. But let's also pray that they'll be intentional with their witness, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit, maybe through this program, through the reading of the Word, through the Sunday message that they'll hear preached, will be received with joy. Conviction isn't always great to be received. It's what, like a father, a son he delights in? God in the same way will discipline us. So conviction is a great thing that God's intentional in caring about you.
Yeah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son Jesus who brings the truth of the word to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who gives us eyes to see the word. We thank you for the fact that you authored this word to speak truth to us in love through the life of Jesus Christ. And, Father, we just pray today that we would love our neighbors well. Lord, whether this weekend that neighbor is in the lawn chair next to us or that neighbor is at the table next to us in McDonald's or that person is next to us in traffic, Father, that wherever somebody is in close proximity to us, they are our neighbors. And so I pray that we would love them well with the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And, Father, we pray that it would begin to help people who are living in darkness to open their eyes, to be able to see the light that is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray wherever we are this weekend as we sit in the sunshine that your son Jesus would shine through us. Mm-hmm. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you said, you know, that God said, I'll make a distinction between my people and your people. And what God is really saying here, if you want to, a literal translation would be, I will set redemption. I will set them apart by redemption. I'm going to redeem them. That's what God is saying. He's saying, I'm going to redeem these people. The children of Israel are not somebody else's property. And that, by the nature of their relationship with Pharaoh, that's what Pharaoh had made the Israelites. He's made them their property. He said, you guys are going to do what I want you to do. You're going to build the temples of Pithom, and you're going to build the temples of Ramses. And so the children of Israel had become the property of Pharaoh when they were always the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. They were always the children of promise. They were always God's children. And so it was God's promise that was going to be the perfect guarantee of their salvation, that God was going to bring his people out. And so that's important to know, because I think, as we talked about last Friday, is that we need to see people as God sees people. And how we see them is that they are God's possession. They belong to God. God keeps saying to Pharaoh, let my people go. Why? Because they're his people. You know, some people say, well, what's the most important part of that verse? The my. Let my people go. They belong to God. Those people living in darkness belong to God. Those people who are going out in the light and the power of Jesus Christ are proclaiming to people that you are God's person, you're God's man, you're God's woman, you're God's child, and freedom is for you. And so that's why Jesus said, what did he say? He said, I came to set the captives free. I came to give sight to the blind. Well, if you're blind, what do you live in? Darkness. He came to help them see light. He came to help the lame to walk. Why? Because the lame can't move. And I don't know how many people I've run into who are kind of stuck in darkness. They can't move. They're paralyzed by the darkness that they're in, the sinfulness that they're in. And Jesus said, I came to give you life and life everlasting. And so here, that's what God is saying. He says, I'm going to do this by making a distinction between my people and your people, between the Israelites and the Egyptians. I'm going to give them redemption. That's going to be the distinction. See, that's the difference between you and the non-Christian. You as a Christian who's listening right now and the non-Christian, that's the difference. The difference is not your economic bracket. The difference is not your social bracket. The difference is not what side of the block you live on. The difference is not, you know, where you came from or where you grew up. The difference is Jesus Christ. Mm. That's the difference. That's the biggest difference between the redeemed and the unredeemed, is Jesus Christ. That's the thing that should matter the most to you. Not your address, right, but your Savior. And so, redemption, when God says, I'm going to redeem them and set them apart for redemption, that's the language of salvation. That's the purchase of freedom. That's God saying, I am going to provide payment. And what's that payment going to be? It's going to be Jesus. And so that, you know, you asked that question for the last 2 weeks about Goshen. Hmm. And we see in this passage that the flies are going to fall in heavy amounts, are going to cover all of Egypt except for Goshen. And why? Because the difference between living in Goshen and living in Egypt was not a matter of geography, but the difference between life and death, between salvation and condemnation. And why we said, did God make that distinction? It's one of the great mysteries. It's one of the great mysteries. Why did God save you? If you answer that question, you go, well, you know, because I prayed the prayer and I went up front on Sunday morning. Then you have a very small view of your salvation. Because there should be a place for all of us. I really believe this. There should be a place for all of us where we kind of sit back and we think about what God did for us in Christ and go, I don't get it. I'm an undeserving enemy of the Lord. I'm a sinner. I only do evil all the time. I only think about doing bad things. I only think about myself. And then he came and died for me. And God extended this grace to the undeserving. I mean, that kind of baffles me. Because, you know, the rubber meets the road with you. Would you do that? Like if there's somebody who doesn't deserve grace, would you give it to them? No, we use terms like, you got what you deserved. They reap what they sow. And if that's not the case for each one of us who's in Christ, is it? Mm. No. Like, I didn't reap what I sowed. Let me tell you, I sowed bad stuff, and I received life. I mean, I sowed seeds into hell. And God said, no, I came to give you eternity with me. And I love how Moses later on in Deuteronomy chapter 7 says to the children of Israel, he says, it's not because you were more in number than the other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. He says, by the way, you are the fewest of people. You are not a group that he looked down and went like, oh, there's my people.
Yeah, at least they were starting to get prideful or banging on their chest.
So if anybody ever, when I read this verse, and I've used this verse in a number of places, people ever go, well, what does that verse really mean? I go, think about junior high kickball. Were you picked first or last? Because the group that God picks are the people who are picked last. God always picks his team out of like the remnant, the leftovers, the people who everybody goes, those guys, they can't throw the ball straight. They can't do anything. He says, this is not because you were big. This is not because you were strong. This is not because you were successful. You were actually really small. And he says, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keeps his commandments to a thousand generations. I love that he ends it that way, where Moses is like, any of you guys who are trying to count when the Lord's love runs out, it's a thousand generations. Can you count that high? No. Can you see that far? No. Can you even imagine a thousand generations? No. He goes, yeah, it's bigger than what you know. And by the way, we would go, well, you know, I can think a thousand generations. I did my genealogy. You know, yes. These are people who would have been like, a thousand generations? Never mind. Like, yes, he's that big. And so the whole idea is that, listen, the children of Israel weren't saved by any merit of their own, but by grace alone, through faith alone. You know, in Jesus' death on the cross, friends, that's the greatest exodus of all. We can read the book of Exodus and go, this is spectacular. No. That's a smaller exodus up and against the exodus that we see in the end of the book of John, the end of the book of Matthew, the end of the book of Mark, the end of the book of Luke, where Jesus on the cross provides the greatest exodus of all time in all of history, where God took children who were in such bondage and such slavery, who were unable to deliver themselves, and he delivered them by his mighty hand and his mighty power. And so God calls us then to do that. God calls us then to take that message, to take the message, freedom for the captive, sight for the blind, the lame will walk. And we proclaim that good news to all the sinners who are in Egypt. We tell everybody that they can enter Goshen. There's this mysterious place that God has set aside, and I don't know why there's no flies there. I don't know why it's been set aside. I don't know what its purpose is necessarily. I mean, I know, I can say, well, I know because it's of his grace, and I know because it's of Jesus shed blood, and I know because of this, and I know because of that. But ultimately, I don't really know. I don't really understand all the inner workings of why God has set this thing apart. I don't understand why God has set me apart. I don't understand why God has given me his Holy Spirit and caused me to be able to be a part of the kingdom in a way where people can see Christ through me. And I know that. I know that that's hard for me to understand, because I totally struggle with even if I'm ever doing it right. You know, there's not a morning where I wake up and I go like, I got it nailed. I wake up more mornings going like, okay, Lord, like, please keep me from screwing this up today. Please. Because I know I will. Like before breakfast, I've 100 ways I've already thought about how I can run it off the rails.
Yeah. It's like in the midst of our prayers and we're sitting in our prayer times like, Lord, gosh, I don't know where that thought came from.
Totally. And so we proclaim the good news to sinners of Egypt, that they can enter the Goshen of redemption, that set apart people are saved by Christ alone. In Exodus 8:25, then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God within the land. So listen. What is the one thing that begins to bend this kind of king of darkness, Pharaoh, is seeing that God has set apart a place where there is not the suffering, there is not the tears, there is not all of these things. And so in his first offer, Pharaoh offered to let the Jews hold their worship feast, not in the wilderness, but in the land of Egypt. That was earlier in the Exodus. And Pharaoh was a pretty good negotiator, and this is really clever. It seemed like a reasonable compromise. It really did. It seemed like a reasonable compromise. You know, I don't want you to go to the wilderness, but why don't you just stay in the land of Egypt and you can still do this thing that you want to do. And I think for many of us, we would go, well, you know what? I mean, if we get 80% of the 100% we're asking, then, man, we're in a pretty good place. If we're honest, many of us in this kind of situation would have been like, Pharaoh, deal. Man, I'm a great negotiator.
The art of the deal.
Yeah. But listen. What Pharaoh was offering was less than total obedience to what God desired, to what was commanded by God. I mean, Moses could have said, this is the best offer we're going to get. We should take it. It's really important that we go sacrifice to God. I mean, maybe those of us right now will say, you know, life begins at 8 weeks. Let's just compromise. Maybe we say, well, you know what? There's just war, so we'll compromise that. On the fact that war is unjust on every level because people are affected in negative ways. Maybe we'll say, that person's my enemy because, you know, compromise. You know, maybe we'll just say marriage can be defined by a cultural standard, and we compromise on God's word where it says one man, one woman. See, the problem is once you begin to make compromises on one thing, you'll compromise on everything.
Like you said, we become those editors instead of God's messenger.
We do. We do. Our compromise becomes continual and our concessions become never-ending. And listen, every single day, friends, we're given opportunities. We're confronted with opportunities to compromise our faith, to offer God partial obedience. And we're willing to call ourselves Christians as long as we don't have to stand for something in the culture, speak with our neighbors, do spiritual things, or allow ourselves to be inconvenienced by the needs of others. We're happy to be Christians if we don't have to do any of those things. See, God's command was not let my people go sacrifice on one condition. God's command was let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Exodus 5:1. And so, many of us, if we're honest, I think we would say we wish we could offer sacrifices to God while remaining friendly with Egypt. But Egypt is the enemy of everything that God stands for. Egypt is the opposite of what God is. And any time we compromise, we fall short of full obedience. Listen, God didn't make any concessions when he saved you. God didn't say, Jesus, just nail one hand to the cross. Jesus, just take the beating, but we won't do the cross. Just go up there, but don't shed any blood for the forgiveness of sin. God didn't make any concessions where your salvation was concerned. He went all the way to full obedience to his promises. And in doing so, saved you. And so why would we not want to give that king full obedience?
Ooh. A lot to think about, but thank you, God, that we have a Savior that loves us, that cares for us, that redeems us as we accept him, as we follow him, as we pledge to do our best to walk in his will and his ways and live for him, bringing him the glory. Oh, may we all do that together today. May we do it individually. May we witness to a hurting world. May we gather with other like-minded believers this Sunday in a good Bible-believing church. And be in the Scriptures, be in God's Word today and throughout this weekend, and enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the gift that God has given you, the breath of life, to accomplish plans and purposes that go beyond what you can do. Lean into him today, I pray. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and